once he comes back. What if there's no way of moving back? What when your face falls apart? Have you got enough time?
From the land of the sky and to high strangers around the globe, this is Joshua P. Warren's Speaking of Strange, starring nobody in particular.
Hey, what is up? Sam the Animal Steel with you here. This is Radio 570 WWNSC. Joshua P. Warren, Speaking of Strange. I will be your host this evening, going down the road to some, you know, whatever. Whatever. And I have, as a very special guest in the studios here at the Radio Ranch in West Asheville this evening, my dad, Dr. David Steele. The doctor sounds pretty legit.
Pretty ostentatious. It's actually not that significant, I don't think.
He's not performing, he's not a urologist anymore. He was a freelance urologist for years.
My mathematics is not terribly invasive.
No, he's a professor of math, which is weird because, you know, I failed geometry. Never had the mathematical mind.
But the interesting connection is I actually had Joshua P. Warren in a class at the university many, many years ago. I think it was when his first book came out.
Yes.
Haunted Asheville?
Haunted Asheville.
When did that come out?
That must have been 93, 94.
I think it had just come out, and he gave 95? Me a signed copy of it.
So, I know.
So that was pretty
you
impressive.
You have one, and... I have a first edition copy that I don't even think he has of Speaking of Strange, the book.
Okay.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that. Yeah.
So Joshua P. Warren back in Puerto Rico. If you're listening out there tonight, Josh, there's Dad. Maybe we can get him to tell some stuff. You got any good, juicy Joshua P. Warren nuggets from way back?
It was so long ago. I remember him sitting kind of in the middle of the classroom looking very proper and attentive. You know, he was always very polished in how he dressed, and he's very proper in how he spoke to me. Hello, Dr. Steele.
You know, yes.
Kind of like an Eddie Haskell type.
Oh, an Eddie Haskell. Was he wearing the duster and the cowboy hat back then?
I don't think he was.
No, but he was very well dressed. I remember when I was at the Harvard on the Hill, a.k.a. AB Tech, he came in, and we're the same age, actually. We're
okay.
Separated by just a few weeks. He's much more kind of adultish than I am. But he came in and gave a talk to our class about starting his own publishing company, Shadowbox Enterprises, and I thought that was pretty cool at the
time.
Was
it a class on
it was creative,
publishing or
creative
writing?
Cool. Was the class. Yeah. And
that seems appropriate.
Yeah,
sure.
He's brought you up. He remembers you over the years.
I've heard him say something. Oh, I remember Dr. Steele.
In case you're listening out there and you don't know who Dr. Steele is, my dad, he teaches at UNCA. Been there for how long now?
We moved here in 1990, so I've been there since 1990.
So you're the mathematician. Was that 28 years?
Yeah, 28 years.
Going on 30.
And I'm just starting phased retirement, so... I'm kind of easing out of the system there.
By the time I get there, I think the system's going to be dead. I don't think there's going to be anything left for me to leech off
of. But it's been a good experience. I've enjoyed teaching there.
Yeah, you're always pretty well-liked.
I seem to get some good feedback.
So you read on the bathroom wall?
Yeah, take Dr. Steele for statistics. Yeah.
If you got questions about...
see Dr. Dave for stat.
One of the reasons, other than the fact that I thought it would be kind of fun to have you, you know, you're not a radio guy. You listen to the radio a lot.
Sam, you are the reason why I listen to the radio so much.
I think Rush Limbaugh is
Rush is part of it, too. I started with Rush, and I know you're not a big Rush fan, but I know you appreciate his talent.
I appreciate his talent in broadcasting.
Talent alone from God.
But I'm not a big fan. Yeah. I don't even think he's a big fan of what he says.
Well, yes, I mean, I think he's more serious than you take him for. But anyway, that's besides the point.
He makes actual
but
money.
Sam, I would say I'm your biggest fan on your two shows here, the Rock Station, Monday through Friday.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you're
Thank
Speaking
you.
Of Strange. I try to listen as much as I can.
I know. It's really annoying. If I go over to their house, he'll have – I'm sitting right there. I'll be sitting on the couch, and he's got, like, barely perceptible, except probably way perceptible to Mom, who's probably just, like, just wanting to drill.
No, she doesn't actually notice it until I turn it up. But yeah. I have my little smartphone there with iHeartRadio on his show.
Man, you're just, like, full of the plugs. You're doing all the good work for me here.
And when he comes on this break, I mean, I don't listen to the music out loud. I mean, it's okay. I mean, I don't mind the music.
Yeah. See, growing up, we never... Very anti-rock music.
Well,
no rock music in the Steele household. Now, he can, like, pull out. He's like, Black Sabbath. Huh?
Not quite that good, but Mom's surprised at the things I do know, actually.
I mean, I don't even listen to some of the stuff that we play. And I'm like, but I'm sitting right across from you. You can just have me say whatever you want me to say. I'm your ventriloquist.
Yeah,
dummy.
You were there the other night, and I had it on next to me, and I heard one of your breaks come on, but I didn't reach over and turn it on.
I know. I noticed that, and you were perturbed. But you can't say that, because then that makes it sound like I'm not there.
Yeah, I know. Right? Obviously, your presence is much more important than your voice.
I can be several places at once.
It's amazing.
It's speaking of strange.
Yeah.
That's a strange paranormal.
That's appropriate for the show.
Let me bring up something that is strange,
sure.
And I'll get to the main topic of tonight's show here in just a sec. But you know, I have a cat and a fish, right? You know, I got Maxie.
Oh yeah, Max
and Emeralda, the fish.
Yeah.
Well, I'd been out of town.
How did that go?
Oh, it went fine. I had a cat sitter or whatever, and you know, she was feeding the fish too.
I always wondered whether we should go over there and check on
it. I took care of it.
Okay,
I had it taken care of. It was all good. Thank you, Shannon. She was also on the show one time.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I usually feed the fish really late at night, early in the morning, like before I go to bed. And, you know, it's a fish. He doesn't do a whole lot, so I don't pay a whole lot of attention to him.
Doesn't need a lot of care.
No, he's pretty self-contained. Well, I noticed the other night, I was like, I haven't seen Emeralda swimming around in a while. Ooh. And I got a little scared. I was like, is the fish dead? Now, it's a fish, but still, I've had this fish for several years. You know, I don't want to see my fish die. But I didn't want to look in there to see if it was flipped, but I didn't see him. So last night, I go in, and I was adding some treated water to the tank. I was, you know, doing a little cleaning, stuff like that. And I mean, Emerald is a good hider. It's a betta fish. He can hide right in front of your eyes, just up against the fake little plants in there. Couldn't find him anywhere.
That's funny. There is
no fish in the tank.
Are you were convinced of that?
I'm 92% convinced that there, unless he's stuck up in the filter somewhere, that there is no fish.
Well, did you ever find him?
No.
Oh, you still haven't found
him? No, that's what I'm saying. Speaking of strange.
Oh.
Did something come and steal my fish? What about Max? Max doesn't care about
that. He can't reach in there, huh?
He could, but he doesn't. He doesn't care at all about the fish. I've had the fish for years.
That is pretty strange.
And, I mean, so I pulled part of the filter out, you know, and it's a big fish, too, so it's not like he's going to get sucked up. There's no fish in there.
Oh, wow.
If he was dead, he'd be floating.
You think, yeah.
One would think. Or maybe he floated, then sunk. I looked out, and it's only a 5.5-gallon tank.
Huh.
But he's the only thing in there.
Wow.
That's some paranormal phenomena. Speaking of paranormal phenomena, I'd like to thank the sponsors over at M&D Paranormal. You can catch those guys. Go to speakingofstrange.com. There's a link to them right on the main page. They actually have a brick-and-mortar store in Marion, North Carolina. I believe that's how you say it if you're from Marion. Marion?
That could be. I don't know.
Yeah, you don't know.
I don't.
M&D Paranormal, check out that team. They've been on the show before. Very cool guys. Very interesting stuff they got going on over there. Tonight, the reason I had Professor Dave Steele, my dad, on was we lost Stephen Hawking earlier in the week. And, you know, I mean, what an interesting guy, really. I mean, when did Brief History of Time come out? That must have come out in...
I think in the late 80s, I believe.
Like 88, 89?
I think so.
And I mean, and it was a cultural like phenomenon.
I mean,
he was the Neil deGrasse Tyson, you know, of his day. He was Neil deGrasse Tyson before.
Yeah.
I mean, but he didn't have the charisma, obviously,
that
Neil has. But he, you know, people were either drawn. I mean, it's a topic, the Brief History of Time, a topic that's not, you know, easily broached. You know, it's some deep, heavy thoughts in there. I mean, theoretical physics.
Yeah, yeah. Theoretical physics, mathematical physics, but, yeah, I remember getting that book
You don't read, though.
Well, I know I don't read, but the thing that attracted me about the book, it was very thin. So, yeah. I think I read the whole thing.
Yeah, it came out in 88. You're like on chapter 6 now.
Well, I was looking to see if I could find it, but I think it's packed away in all my...
I think I have it.
Oh, actually. You think you have it?
Yeah, okay. Pretty sure I do. But, you know, it was not a huge book, but it was a New York Times bestseller.
Yeah.
It was a cultural phenomenon. People were attracted to it either because, of Stephen Hawking himself, you know, the guy in the chair who had, was it ALS, if I'm correct?
Yeah, I believe so, yeah.
And, he's just, getting more and more wasting away by the day, ultimately talking via machine, but his brain is still 100%.
Yeah, it seemed like it's fully functional.
His brain 100%, but his body not barely working at all. Either people were attracted to this mysterious man in the chair who was, explaining some of the heavier duty thoughts of the universe and making them somewhat cohesive to lay people like myself. Neil deGrasse Tyson does the same thing, takes very...
Well, one of the things I think that was significant about that book, and I wish I had chance to peruse it. You just told me about.
I'll see if I have.
You just told me about this last night, so I didn't have much time to look at anything. Is that he was proponent of a new theory? There used to be a steady state theory of the universe that everything had always existed as it was, and he was the proponent of the Big Bang, which was a competing theory, and so that was what intrigued me about it.
Yeah, it says it was actually his third book, and he himself had pointed out that his own area of interest there had become so technical that only a handful of people on the planet, specialists could really master the mathematics.
Yeah, see, I even with my PhD, I'm nowhere near the mathematics that he was involved in.
Right, and I mean, he took a bunch of lectures, basically put them together for A Brief History of Time, which on the cover of that, I remember, he was still, you could tell he was wasting away, but he was like still a lot better than he was at the time. But some of those titles of the lectures, black holes and thermodynamics, quantum gravity, things that are not easy to grasp.
Right.
And he kind of made it so that you could actually read it and start
and
thinking.
Get a little grasp of it.
And that's one of those things that it's hard to do. A lot of people, I just don't even think about that. We're going to talk about some of those theories here coming up in this show tonight, brought to you by M&D Paranormal and HauntedAsheville.com. Have you ever taken a Haunted Asheville tour?
I have never. I'd like to do that.
Yeah, you should.
Can you get me in with one of Josh's tours? I
would love to go. When he's back in town.
I would love to get on. But his are always booked heavy, aren't they?
They are.
Yeah.
They are. He's a popular lad, but I think I got a little bit of pull with the guy.
His former teacher, he would have compassion.
Do you hear that, Josh? Have compassion on your former teacher. You yourself can book a tour. Go to HauntedAsheville.com. Speaking of Strange, we'll be back right after this.
Sun, won't you come?
This is Speaking of Strange on News Radio 570 WWNC. You can also pick us up old episodes and all at speakingofstrange.com. Joshua P. Warren, is there a period after the P, Deb?
No, I don't believe so.
No, there is no period after the P. That is correct. And you can download the iHeartRadio app as well. Brought to you by Han at Asheville. We were talking right before the end of the segment there about how you have not ever been on a Haunted Asheville tour.
I have not.
And I'd gone on my first one a year or two ago. Me and Shelley Wright went on one, and I learned stuff about the town that we've lived in for almost 30 years now that I'd never known about before.
Yeah, I've heard you discuss the tours, and they really sound very interesting.
They are very interesting. My favorite part, I liked learning where the gallows used to be.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Where they would hang. And Vance posted up on his Facebook the other day a picture of the gallows themselves. Wow. He's the historian. He's the gourmet around here, Ed.
little reference there.
Yeah. I actually went. So we're talking tonight on Speaking of Strange, where the unusual becomes usual, about the passing of Stephen Hawking and his contributions and what made him an interesting person, mathematician, theoretical physicist. I learned about his passing, like, you know, it was middle of the night when it got posted, maybe like 4:30, 5 in the morning,
yeah,
or something like
that. I think
that.
Wednesday or?
Yeah. So
which is interesting because that was Pi Day.
It was Pi Day.
314.
Yes. I shouted you out last night on the rock station.
Okay, I missed that one.
Yeah. It's the one break you missed where I did a whole break on Pi.
Oh, all right.
I know.
I'd like to hear that.
But I had posted on Facebook, so it was like immediately after it was announced, and I was like, but the end was so sudden.
Oh, no.
that being...
Is that Fletch?
Yes, that's from Fletch. But no, the end. I mean, the very end was...
Well, he was sick a long time. No, but they land.
The end. The very end was so sudden. A couple people... Patrick Elliott got it. A couple people got the reference.
You heard from Patrick Elliott?
No, we had just posted it on the Facebook
wall. All right, gotcha.
You know how social networking...
I do not know social... I don't social network.
You don't. But, yeah, so we're talking about Stephen Hawking, and right before the break, we were talking about A Brief History of Time. This is a soundbite here. This you can find on BBC.com, the Beeb, as the Brits would call it, British Broadcasting Company, I guess.
Yeah,
anyway,
I guess so.
This is Stephen Hawking, and, you know, he would talk through his – I never really fully did understand how that device worked. Because he couldn't move, you know, at the end, he could barely move, like, a finger, you know, like...
Something in the cheek motion at the end there.
Yeah, I mean...
Something was attached.
It was attached to his... Because he couldn't move his head. It was always in the same place. But he could control all that.
Pretty remarkable.
Yeah. And so he would talk through a synthesizer. And, you know, what's a lot of people don't know, not that I knew the guy personally or anything, but from what I've read, was that he had a very good sense of humor.
That's what I read, too. Yeah, I heard that.
And it's really inspirational in a way, you know, like, because I know people who, you know, have legit illnesses, and I complain about, you know, I have blisters on my feet, my knee hurts, whatever.
Right.
People who have, like, real problems. And, you know, I'm sure he had money or whatever, but money doesn't matter in the grand cosmic scheme.
It doesn't really
things.
Compensate for the...
No. But he to go through life and not be like a bit and knowing, you know, more than the average bear.
Yeah.
And knowing like the reality of what was happening to him, his body, the universe, the earth that we're standing on right now. He probably had every opportunity to just be a Debbie Downer. But
yeah.
His
sense of humor apparently was really remarkable.
Didn't he make a couple guest appearances? You like The Big Bang?
Oh, The Big Bang Theory. Yeah, I love that show, and he did make a couple appearances on that show.
That's pretty big, actually.
It's amazing. That's pretty cool.
This is some audio here of Stephen Hawking, and I shifted pages. We're gonna have to wait because it's got to cycle through. They're stupid ad.
Oops,
again.
Me,
I know.
Let me hum a song while we're waiting.
No, that's okay. Please, please don't.
I like the way this mic sounds. You know, gosh, you take this around with me.
Yeah, you probably the engineering department would not
appreciate that.
If you're just now tuning in, you're listening to Speaking of Strange. The guest tonight, I'm Sam the Animal Steele, producer extraordinaire. Now I guess host mediocre. And my guest tonight is my dad, Dr. Dave Steele.
Yeah, and we probably sound a lot alike.
Some people say that.
Yeah, so I don't know. Maybe you can't tell who's talking now.
I don't.
Are you imitating my voice? Oh, Sam, good to see you.
Anyway, so this is Stephen Hawking through his synthesizer talking about God, his artificial intelligence, and mankind's future.
We face a number of threats to our survival, from nuclear war, catastrophic global warming, and genetically engineered viruses. The number is likely to increase in the future, with the development of new technologies and new ways things can go wrong. At the age of 21, I was told I had an incurable disabling disease that would kill me in 2 or 3 years. The doctors were wrong about that. If one is disabled, one should concentrate on the things one can do, and not regret the things one can't do. Because there are laws, such as gravity, the universe can, and will, create itself from nothing. It is not necessary to invoke God to light a blue touch paper and set the universe going. I think the development of full artificial intelligence could spell the end of the human race. Once humans develop artificial intelligence, it would take off on its own and redesign itself at an ever-increasing rate. I think those who have a terminal illness and are in great pain should have the right to choose to end their lives, and those that help them should be free from prosecution. We don't let animals suffer, so why humans? But there must be safeguards that the person concerned genuinely want to end their life.
Some interesting thoughts there from Stephen Hawking. What did you think about some of those thoughts there, Pops?
Well, yeah, I mean, he had a varied category of interest. I remember seeing something on a documentary where he apparently, growing up in the family, they discussed all sorts of things at lunchtime and meals. Kind of reminds us of our meals sometimes at home. But, yeah, the one that always intrigues me is the idea of God. And because obviously, you know, we were raised in a Christian environment, and I know you have your own feelings about that.
Well, we all have our own feelings about.
Yeah, so it's interesting. He used that phrase there. I think I have it up here. It is not necessary to invoke God to light the blue touch paper and set the universe. I'm not sure what blue touch paper is.
I would assume like it would just
like
be. I was wondering
that.
Yeah, I was thinking like, you know, like flash paper
yeah.
or something.
Set the universe going.
Like, you know, the flame that started.
Because the interesting thing about Brief History of Time is that the comparison of the so-called steady state universe with the Big Bang was actually something that was an encouragement to those of us who had a creationist view of the universe, because it actually meant the universe had a beginning, as opposed to something that had existed forever.
Well, I mean, I thought that towards the end, I thought that it, in some ways he almost seemed like he was, I hesitate to use the term believer, because that makes it, you know, but it seemed like he was a little bit more open to different thoughts. Like, you said, you know, I have my own theories. I do. And I, you know, I'm hesitant of anybody who, we were talking about this the other night in a different context. I'm hesitant of anybody who seems to know.
With certainty.
With certainty.
Yeah.
Or say, I know definitely what happens. Well, how can you know definitely what happens? And how, like, I think you're smarter once you start learning how dumb you really are.
I once heard a lecture by Richard Feynman on some TV, educational TV show or something, where he said something like the reason why he was opposed to some Christian belief is he knew how hard it was to determine something, how much work it required to really discover some truth. And he felt that maybe the Christians hadn't really done that to hold to the truths that they hold to. And I'm not sure that I agree with that, because as a Christian, I feel like there are things that you work at, and the things that you question, and the things that you finally come to a sense of confidence about.
Well, after the break, we'll jump in more on Stephen Hawking's views of God, the universe, his own mortality, predicting his own death, artificial intelligence taking over the world, and other such matters. You're listening to Speaking of Strange, brought to you by MND Paranormal, the News Radio 570 WWNC.
Life gets you down, Mrs. Brown, and things seem hard or tough, and people are stupid, obnoxious, or daft, and you feel that you've had quite enough. Just remember that you're standing on a planet that's evolving, and revolving at 900 miles an hour. That's orbiting at 19 miles a second, so it's reckoned. The sun that is the source of all our power. The sun and you and me and all the stars that we can see are moving at a million miles a day. In an outer spiral arm at 400,000 miles an hour, in a galaxy we call the Milky Way. Galaxy itself contains 500 billion stars. It's 100,000 light years side to side. It bulges in the middle, 6,000 light years thick, but out by us it's just 1,000 light years wide. We're 30,000 light years from galactic central point. We go round every 200 billion years. And our galaxy is only one of millions of billions in this amazing and expanding universe. Expanding and expanding in all of the directions it can list. As fast as it can go, at the speed of light, you know. 12 million miles a minute, and that's the fastest speed there is. So remember when you're feeling very small and insecure, how amazingly unlikely is your birth. And pray that there's intelligent life somewhere out in space, cause there's bugger all down here on Earth.
Hey, you're listening to Speaking of Strange here on News Radio 570 WWNC, brought to you by HauntedAsheville.com. That was Stephen Hawking.
That's pretty cool.
His cover of Monty Python's Galaxy.
So he actually did that.
Well, I mean, he did that in as much as that was his synthesize. I mean, he, you know, went, I assume, into a recording studio.
So they didn't just simulate that?
No.
Interesting.
He was quite a fan.
Yeah.
You know, Monty Python, cool. Which also shows his good humor.
Yeah.
And, you know, you heard him talking there. And some of those, you know, when that song came out, I don't know what year that was, the Monty Python version, but, you know, like they're singing this, you know, jaunty little song about how insignificant we are.
Right.
And a lot of people need to remember that more. How insignificant you really are, instead of thinking you're the center of the universe, because you're not.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's like the whole point of the song is, you know, look, we're like in the middle of this thing that's, you know, 1,000 light years wide. You know, just some of those numbers thrown. You know, the human brain, we can't even fathom that.
This has nothing to do with what you're talking about.
What am I talking about?
I don't know. But the whole notion of taking ourselves too seriously.
Oh, go for it. Yeah.
I was going to say, Sam, I've been having this nervous sweat all day thinking that I had to be on the show with you tonight. And you know the way that you get this nervous BO that really smells different?
I don't typically get that, but
I get that a lot.
Yeah, well.
Because I'm a very introverted person, so I don't. But then, you know, I just have to remind myself, you know, just Dave, don't take yourself too seriously. Just chill. It really doesn't matter what you say.
And I mean, and now that you're here doing it,
it's actually pretty comfortable.
Yeah, it's just you and me.
Yeah.
Some people get freaked out by the mics.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
You know, because at the end of the day, I don't know if anybody. Yeah. And it's sort of the, you know.
I mean, how many people are even listening right
who
now?
Who knows?
Who knows?
Well, I mean, when you count the iHeartRadio.
I think we should tell them all to email you that we get a sense
to
of
those
the.
Those people who have emailed me and I have not responded, much as my dad is introverted, I have a very hard time dealing with things such as. I mean, I don't. It's not on my. Ignoring you. I'm not. I just don't. Really, I have a hard time doing
anything. I don't like to respond to email either.
It's not that. It's not. It's just I have a hard time doing anything that I really have to do.
Okay.
You know, anything that involves.
It's the authority thing, huh?
No, it's responsibilities.
Responsibility, okay.
You know, there's no authority in it so much.
You don't like to be responsible.
I don't like authority either, but that's how you got pulled over the other day.
Oh,
speaking
no.
Speaking of not having anything to do with Stephen Hawking or.
Yikes.
By the way, I'm Sam the Animal Steel. You're listening to Speaking of Strange.
And I'm Dave the Animal Steel's dad.
Dave the honey badger steel. yeah, so I was leaving here the other night, and I was turning left out onto Lester Highway. And if you've ever turned left out the back way here onto Lester Highway, it's a very difficult turn.
I can imagine that, yeah.
There's a blind hill involved, cars zipping, you know, going 50 miles an hour. Over this blind hill, it's like you can't see them, and they're bam, they're right there. Then you also have in front of you a turning lane where people are turning left.
Ooh.
And so when you finally do get a gap, you go, and then, like, there's a car there. So if you get a gap, you have to go the second you see it and just try to at least get into the center lane. You know, like, get into that turning lane. Don't immediately get over necessarily. Just hang out there for a sec. You got to make – it's like Frogger. You got to get over.
Oh, yeah.
So I see my gap. I go for it. I've made this left turn. I've worked here for close to 20 years. I've made that turn a significant amount of times. So I turn left, and it had just turned dusk. This is right before daylight savings, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
So it was like, you know, it's that hard time of day to see. I see a car, you know, coming, but I was not in any danger of hitting it. But I see that it kind of jagged. It kind of stepped on its brakes and jagged a little bit.
Oh, okay.
And out of the side mirror, I see that it was a sheriff.
Oh.
I don't care. I have nothing illegal in the car. I've done nothing wrong. I don't care. So, but my car kind of looks like a suspicious vehicle, some would say. It's very.
This is your big truck.
Yeah, it's like blacked out.
Yeah,
it's like blacked out windows and everything. But like I said, wasn't doing anything wrong. Nothing illegal. Don't care. And so I continue on my happy, merry way to the Goodwill. And nothing. He gets behind me. Don't care. Make it all the way to the light on Patton. Now, I mean, it's five lanes on Patton, two of those turning right onto Lester Highway, three going straight. It's a hard one to judge, so I'm waiting. I'm doing the responsible thing. I'm waiting to turn right. I could turn right on red, but I could be, making a hazard, so I wait. At some point, I guess that I got the right green arrow.
Okay.
Don't know how long. Couldn't have been that long, but maybe it took me a couple seconds before I realized because my head was turned looking east down.
Looking at the traffic, yeah.
Yeah. So I turn right, and immediately I get blue lit.
Oh.
Immediately. So immediately I pull over right into that hair salon scuba place right there on Patton Avenue. And I'm like, okay, not doing anything wrong. Nothing illegal on me. Don't care. I'm rolling down the window. Before I can get the vehicle in park and the driver's window down, there are four more sheriffs with blue lights on now around
me. Four more cars. Crazy.
Before I can even get stopped and the windows. And so I'm like, what?
That is so weird.
So I'm processing this, and it's hard to see the cars because the windows are very.
Yeah, they're tinted.
Yeah. And so now they're yelling. Like, they all have their hands on their guns. Now I'm starting to think, like, maybe I have done something wrong. Now I'm thinking I'm the next viral.
Were they confusing you with somebody else?
And you saw that video the other day, I'm sure, the guy jaywalking.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
My goodness. I made national news. Did not make the city look good.
Yeah, no.
At all. So now I'm thinking that could be me. You know? I mean, shoot, you know? So now I got five cops with their hands on their guns, and they're all yelling to roll the window. They're yelling, roll the windows down! Roll the windows down!
I thought you already done that.
I'm trying. I'm like, sir, I can only roll them down so fast. They won't go any faster. You know, I'm trying. And you're using all four motors at the same time. Yeah. They're going a little slower, what have you. So the guy comes up to the passenger window, and he is like he's the guy in charge, right? Very, very all business. And you know me, when it comes to authority figures, sometimes I've been known to have what they call a smart mouth.
Like an attitude.
Yeah, a little bit. So, but I'm not doing that. I'm just like, I go, well, sir, are you going to let me finish?
And he started?
I hadn't even started. And I was like, I'm sorry. Are we going to continue to do this? Are you going to open your mouth again?
That is
and
crazy.
I'm like, so now I can't say anything. He's like, you almost killed me back there. I'm like, whoa. Now, all of a sudden, we've gone from like, I haven't done anything wrong to now I'm being like accused of like cop killing or something. I'm like, but I can't say anything. I can't defend myself, so I just have to sit there. And he's like, I thought my ticket was punched. I'm like, what are you talking about? Yeah. I turned left into the turning lane. I didn't cause any. And he's like, you were recklessly endangering my life. I'm like, can't say anything. Because, you know, ultimately, he takes my paperwork, goes back to his car, comes back 5 minutes later, whatever. And this time, I'm chatting with the guy right at the window. We're having a good time. Good time.
Yeah.
Big ups to the Buncombe County Sheriff's Department. Good people. And so the guy comes back. I don't open my mouth. I was very. I'm getting old. You know, I'm getting old when I'm more respectful. Huh?
Yeah.
And so he goes, Mr. Steele, you haven't been in any trouble. One ticket in 15 years. You know, you've been in no trouble. I'm not going to get you into trouble tonight. But you know, you did endanger my life. But I wanted to be like, maybe you know, you're just. I'm a better driver than you might think. But he let me go, and
that's good.
I made sure
that's
you know.
Relief.
Yeah, nothing. Because I didn't do anything wrong.
Well, the vehicle does look
It does
sketchy.
Look sketchy a little bit. But I made sure when I went up patting to goose that. Rah!
Yeah, that's true. The noise is.
Yeah, I mean, he could have written me a 10.
Pretty significant.
Violation. For at the very least. So thank you, sir, for exercising. I apologize for that story. That had nothing to do with
that
tonight's.
That was a bit digression. Yeah,
I know, but it's my show. I can do what I want.
Yeah, that's true.
Tonight we're talking about Stephen Hawking. and also theoretical physics. We're going to get to God. We're going to get to artificial intelligence. We're going to get to all these other things that Stephen Hawking made you know, people talk about. What you might say now is water cooler talk back in the late 80s, you know. I was younger then. We had no access to a water cooler. So I don't know if that's true or not. But we're going to get to that. And I apologize for my digression. I just wanted to tell that story.
That was a good story.
It was a story.
It's an okay story.
And I have a smart mouth.
It's kind of like comedians in cars getting coffee.
It was about as long.
About, yeah.
You're listening to Speaking of Strange, where the unusual becomes usual, and my stories ramble on. I'm Sam.
He does have the rambling stories.
I'm Sam Steele, joined tonight by my dad, Dr. Dave, the Honey Badger Steele. You're listening to Speaking of Strange on News Radio 570 WWNC. We'll wrap up this hour when we come back. We'll be right back. Speaking of strange, where the unusual becomes usual is what you're listening to here on News Radio 570 WWNC. Also pick us up at speakingofstrange.com, joshuapwarren.com. It's his show, after all. It's Joshua P. Warren speaking of strange. I am merely the messenger. Sam Steele joined tonight by my pops, Dr. Dave Steele. That was his pick.
Good evening, yes.
That was his pick. Turn.
Because of the time. Time to
a brief history.
Yeah,
of time.
Comes from the book of Ecclesiastes.
There you go. I pulled up over here before I went on that long tangent about getting pulled over or whatever. About what we were talking about, that audio clip we had heard, some Stephen Hawking talking about different things. And, he was an atheist. If it makes you feel any better, I don't particularly side with atheists either. I guess I would fall into agnostic. Not atheist, because atheists are the same thing. It's like they proclaim to know more than anything that there is not a God. And
yeah,
Christians believe
quote,
there is a God. And I'm like, how do you know there's either?
I have this quote from a Hawking. Before you understand science, it is natural to believe that God created the universe. But now, science offers a more convincing explanation, he said. What I mean by we would know the mind of God is we would know everything that God would know if there were a God, which there isn't. I'm an atheist. So he goes into this issue of science now that it's explaining things. We no longer need God as an explanation. So that's a pretty common view in the sort of the natural world that science has answered things, therefore we no longer need God, which I take issue with. But, yeah. That's kind of a prevailing thought.
Well, I don't necessarily, buy that 100%. I mean, I do believe that science does have answers, and when it comes to certain things, I think there's a problem these days of people thinking that, they're an expert on everything. And it's like, I'll defer to, the guy who's got, several degrees, several PhDs from Caltech or MIT when it comes to something that I have briefly read about in a pamphlet.
I'm
saying?
Yeah.
He probably knows more. When it came to heaven, he had a pragmatic view of what happens to the brain and body after death. He said, quote, I regard the brain as a computer which will stop working when its components fail. There is no heaven or afterlife for broken down computers. That is a fairy story for people afraid of the dark.
Yeah, what's interesting is Hawking passed away this past Wednesday, and 3 weeks before that, Billy Graham passed away.
So was it 3 weeks?
Yeah. It was 3 weeks before Wednesday. It was, I think, back in February 21.
A couple months ago,
like
George Beverly Shea before that.
Yeah, well, I understand that, but the point is there's a neat sort of contraposition of the life of Stephen Hawking with the life of Billy Graham. In terms of their reaching different areas of life and population and areas of interest. So I just think that's kind of fascinating comparison.
For many, many years, Billy Graham, whether or not I agreed with him ideologically, was on my list of people I wanted to meet, which, was kind of a bummer that I never did because he lived so close.
Yeah.
The guy lived down in Montreat.
Yeah, could have gone up to the log cabin there.
I never got to go to the log cabin.
I didn't
did
either.
You?
No, I didn't.
No, you didn't. But going back to Hawking and his beliefs on a God, he did bring it up in A Brief History of Time. He wrote that if physicists could find a theory of everything that is a cohesive explanation for how the universe works, they would glimpse the mind of God. But then later on, in interviews and writings like back in 2010, he clarified that he was not referring to a, creator in the traditional sense, saying, quote, spontaneous creation is the reason there is something rather than nothing, why the universe exists, why we exist. It's not necessary to invoke God to light the blue touch paper and set the universe going. That's where he got that. Then going on to say, God is the name people give to the reason we are here, he said, but I think that reason is the laws of physics rather than someone with whom one can have a personal relationship, an impersonal God.
Yeah, see, you have to be able to take that with as much skepticism as the person who says, I believe God created the universe, and I think there is a possibility of a personal relationship with God. I think you have to consider both as legitimate viewpoints until we see what happens. And, of course...
Well, yeah, I mean, I agree. But, you know, much like he seems very certain that there's not, and some people seem very certain that there is, I think it's very, you know, reasonable to be somewhat down the middle there and be like, I can't say. I've never, you know, who do you know that's been back from heaven?
No, I don't know anybody. But I would say that at least Billy Graham and Stephen Hawking now know that whether there is an afterlife or not. So they are certain of something right now
or
certain of nothing.
They're dead
in
the ground.
That's possible.
We don't know.
We don't know. But the point is, Sam, you have to you don't have certainty in the mathematical sense, but you can have high level of confidence.
Yeah.
And you obviously...
Or hope.
Well, hope, yeah. But the point is you have to end up basing your life on some foundation of worldview belief. And, you know, that comes to, okay, which seems the more plausible to you based upon your life experiences?
Well... We'll get into that more in hour two. We have another hour to dig into that before the Dark 30. I know, you're excited.
I'm excited.
You're listening to Speaking of Strange here on News Radio 570 WWNC, brought to you by M&D Paranormal. Check out their link at speakingofstrange.com. We'll be back right after this.